Monday night, May 6th at the Hyatt Regency in San Francisco, you're invited to join athletes and celebs at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame Enshrinement Dinner. Be there to celebrate this year's class featuring Olympic swimmer Jenny Thompson, San Jose Earthquakes legend Chris Wondolowski, Niners Super Bowl hero John Taylor, Sharks icon Patrick Marleau, and the architect of the Giants dynasty, Brian Sabian. Be a part of this star-studded evening benefiting Special Olympics Northern California. To purchase tickets, visit bashoff.org. That's BASHOF.org.
And it shoots and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Scores! Logan Couture wins it in overtime!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Well, what a play here. Outnumbered situation. Eklund stays out there with EK65. Couture is the only guy that was able to get the line change. And because Eklund was stayed out there, helped Carlson to come up with this puck to get it to Couture. And then Couture's got nothing but real estate in front of him, fakes the shot, pulls it, opens up the five hole, and deposits it for the game winner. And James Reimer gets an assist on this for me. I mean, what a hockey game for him. And then what a finish by Logan Couture here in overtime.
Well, you know, your goalie gives you a chance, which obviously is huge. Penalty kill was great. Unfortunately, they got that one at the end. And just sticking with it. I really loved our 6-on-5. I thought the third period was better than the first two. That being said, we got fortunate with some lucky bounces there when it looked like they were going to score a goal. But we've had plenty of nights where it didn't go our way, and tonight we had it go our way in that regard. And I just liked our poise on the 6-on-5. You know, for two straight minutes, I thought we made good decisions, won puck battles, retrieved pucks. And you know, obviously, Carl takes a shot, it gets blocked, and it goes right to Tom, and he buries it, and then had a great chance in overtime. And then, you know, they get a look, and as usually happens in overtime, after you give up a scoring chance, you usually get one, and ends up in our favor. So, you know, proud of our guys, because, you know, a lot of adversity tonight with the penalties, and didn't play great, but found a way to win, which is really what you need to do with this league sometimes.
All right, good morning, everyone. I know it doesn't help in the Bedard sweepstakes. I know it doesn't help the Sharks with their draft pick, but overall, it helps the here and now because this team needed a win bad. Their last one coming 2 weeks prior on the 20th of February with some very difficult news stories associated with their team, like trading away good players, and some very difficult results mixed in there as well. But to watch Couture bury it in overtime as the Sharks get the come-from-behind win, that was a much, much needed moment. Big picture on the game, the Sharks were able to survive. It was hardly their best performance, right? Like, you give up that many penalties with the Jets going on the power play 6 times to the Sharks 2. You would think that that's going to be a game that does not end in your favor. And really, until those final, you know, couple of seconds when it was 6-on-5 and the Sharks found the late equalizer from Tommy Hertl, I mean, it looked like it wasn't going to be their night. It looked like they were going to waste another really brilliant performance from James Reimer. And that was frustrating, obviously, because I didn't think the Sharks played particularly poorly in the game, but I didn't think they had played great. I didn't love every call, but at the same time, my long-standing take is don't put yourself in a position where the refs can be the difference in a game. I know you and I can have an argument about that for a much longer amount of time, so I will spare you for the time being. But, you know, I also looked at it at the point when the Sharks were not yet tying the game. I was like, okay, this is not, you know, compared to what we had seen in the last two games, losing 8-3 and 6-3, 14-6 overall over two games, you needed something better. You needed something that you could lean on. You needed some sort of a performance that you could be proud of as opposed to what we saw in the last two games. In the last two games, primarily what we saw was the collapse of the Sharks after having good starts in both games. Last night, the Sharks were the team that scored first. And last night, once again, that 1-0 lead turned into a 2-1 deficit that looked like it was headed for a 2-1 loss. And if it had ended there, you would have at least said, okay, they played better, it was an improvement over the last two games, and I'm okay with that. But instead, You got Tomáš Hertl, who, let's admit, he has had not a great 2023 so far. That's only his, I believe, what, fourth goal and third that was not an empty netter in this calendar year. And he's starting to wake up as of late, but it's certainly taken a while. And, you know, Brett Hedekin was asking Tommy Hertl to do something in that end of the game period. And he came up with a big moment. I mean, that was what was most spectacular to me, is that he was saying, okay, you're getting this money. You're wearing the A on your sweater. You need to do something for your team. You need to step up and get it done. And I'm not trying to blame him or anything like that, because listen, guys go through things. He's had the birth of his child. It's a difficult season. There's any number of things that have potentially kept Tomáš Hertl from playing his best game. And there could be injuries that we don't even know about. That's always, you know, what I go to. I, you know, remember when Joe Thornton told us after the Stanley Cup playoffs one time, like, oh yeah, I was playing without a knee, essentially. You know, these are the type of things that you always have to remember and are part of the equation. But to watch Tomáš Hertl have that type of a moment with 10 seconds left to pick the team up, to get the game tying goal, to send it to overtime, to earn a point, I know it doesn't help them in their draft sweepstakes, but I think it was a much needed moment. The Sharks needed something to feel good about. They needed something to hang their hat on and say, look, we can still get it done in this league, even without Timo Meier, you know, even without Matt Nieto. You know, you go down the list of the players that are no longer with this team compared to what they were a couple weeks ago. They needed something to feel good about. And the good times might not last very long, as coming up in a couple hours, they'll be taking on Colorado once again. So it's a quick turnaround. It's a quick bit of enjoyment for one win, but, you know, just overall a huge moment for the Sharks and what has been a very, very difficult stretch for any number of reasons. So I was very happy to see that. Another big one that I was very happy to see last night is Nikolaj Knežev. I mean, I was just enamored with his game back in the abbreviated 56-game schedule in 2021. I just thought there was an overall professionalism beyond his years. Like, he just played a stout defensive style. He did the little things right, and I didn't know what to expect from him last night, and I didn't think he was amazing last night. I'm not trying to take anything away from his performance, but I did think he was good. You know, I thought that he did not look like a guy that was 2 years out of the league. And what a great story. I mean, we see this. You know, these are injuries that these guys sustain in sports that a generation ago may have been career-ending, and now they're able to come back from. And I've always made the comparison from Nikolaj Knežev to Klay Thompson, because both these guys missed a year with one big-time injury. You know, for Klay, it was the knee. For Nikolaj, it was the groin. And then while they were rehabbing, tore their Achilles. And so to see Knežev back out there on the ice last night, being, again, such a professional in every aspect of his game, just a great thing to see. And you need more of these feel-good stories for the Sharks this year, because there haven't been nearly enough. And, again, getting him back out there on the ice, watching him play. He talked about how warm-ups were the more emotional moment for him about getting back there in an NHL game. You know, that's special. You don't get too many like those in the course of a year like this, where you have a moment that everyone can feel good about. But that was mostly, you know, that was the one out of last night where you're just like, yeah, good job, man. Like, you made it back. There was no guarantee. You never knew what was going to happen, especially with the torn Achilles. It can still threaten a career for sure. It's just, you know, it's something we do see more guys come back from now, but he did it. You know, he's made it back, and I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know what he's going to be able to do with the rest of his career, and I hope that he remains a Shark and that, you know, he continues to be a part of the process that allows the Sharks to turn into a contending team again sooner rather than later. But overall, that was just a big-time moment, and so, you know, my gratitude and my overall appreciation and applause to Knežev for making it back and getting out there on the NHL ice once again. James Reimer last night was absolutely monstrous. I mean, he was making stops that he had no business making. And I don't say that with any bit of disrespect. That was just the type of night that he was having. And when you see guys have a night like that, when you see these players have these huge moments, you hope that the team can back them up. And that was what I was overall, you know, just kind of bummed about when it was getting late, because it was like, okay, Reimer has been standing on his head all game long. He's made huge saves, huge stops, and the Sharks aren't going to be able to give him the offensive support to get the win. And actually, they ended up doing just that. They get a goal with 10 point some odd seconds left from Tomáš Hertl, and then they get Logan Couture with the game winner in overtime. And it was just, it was like, good, back up your goalie. If he's going to give you a performance like that, make sure you give him the offensive support that he needs. And maybe it was late, but it's better late rather than never. And James Reimer, I know we've talked a little bit lately about him not getting traded to a contender, and there was a little bit of of a disappointment about that. But you know what? I think James Reimer will always go out there and play his best and do whatever he can to help his team win. He is a hardcore competitor. He's going to go out there and give it his all with every single ounce of his being. He did that again last night, and it took a little while, but eventually he did get the support he deserved. And so he gets to feel good after that one. And I hope that Capo comes back tonight and has a great performance, and we get to look at him and say, hey, he backed it up just like Reimer did. Well, Reimer was huge. You know, he just was a huge part of what was a much-needed win, the Sharks having not won for 2 weeks. And, you know, now they can all kind of breathe a little bit easier after going through the trade deadline stuff and having some bad losses just before and right after. And this was one that was, again, it was needed. They needed something to feel good about. And key players did things to make the Sharks have a good outcome in this game. I mean, I know we always talk about the need for your stars to be your stars, but it's true. Game winner, Logan Couture. Game-tying goal to send it to overtime, Tomas Hertl. Multi-point night, Erik Karlsson. And while we're talking about Erik Karlsson, I saw that Darren Stevens, the Ultimate Sharks stat master, had his 25th multi-point game last night. That sets a Sharks record for a defenseman. Brent Burns had 24 multi-point games in the 2015-2016 season, in which the Sharks ended up in the Stanley Cup Final. And Erik Karlsson matched a career-high 82 points now on the season. And again, there's a lot of hockey yet to be played. So just remarkable play from Erik Karlsson that started at the start of the year, right? We all kind of joked about it. He even joked about it himself. He said, well, if I keep this up, I'll end up with 100 points. I mean, that's what he's trending for. And more than that, that's what's amazing. He's actually on pace for 105 points right now. And again, I always go back to the fact that he's doing this on a team that's just not that good, and he's still getting multi-point games, even no longer having a Timo Meier out there, even no longer having a Matt Nieto out there, not having Nick Bonino, not having any number of quality players that can help set up plays and make things happen, yet he's still just putting it on guys' sticks. And even, this is what's most amazing, is that, you know, that shot that he was taking got blocked, and it made its way over to Hertl. I mean, Erik Karlsson is at a point right now where when he touches the puck, good things happen. And it's all about Erik Karlsson putting things in play. And you can be one of those people who says it's dumb luck, but it's like, no, he put the puck in action, caused a reaction from a defenseman. It happened to deflect to Tomas Hertl, who was waiting on the far side, and Hertl took advantage of it. But that's not dumb luck. That's Erik Karlsson making something happen. And I always go to what my good friend and San Jose sports legend Joe Cannon always says. He says, ask questions of the defense, see if they have the answer. That doesn't mean be brilliant. That doesn't mean be perfect. That doesn't mean you have to be ultimately flawless in your approach. It means that you have to do something that makes the defense react. And every time you're making the defense react, you're opening up space, you're creating opportunity. And then that instance, that's exactly what happened for Tomas Hertl. But again, Erik Karlsson, the season he's having, I don't really know what is left to say. And I'm going to keep on repeating that because I feel like we've said it all, but he's having a phenomenal year. He's making the contract valid. I mean, that's something that everyone said was damn near an impossibility, except he's doing it. He's out there making that contract seem like it was valid. And that, I know people are always going to disagree with that. They're going to try and misconstrue it as being the thing that prevented Pavelski from staying, which isn't true. That's not the deal that prevented Pavelski from staying. That was the Evander Kane deal. But the point is that when Erik Karlsson has the puck on his stick, something good seems like it's likely to follow shortly thereafter. And for Logan Couture, with that opportunity as the captain to bury it after what has been a very difficult stretch, I thought that was meaningful as well. You know, he gets that pass. You know, you got the call we heard from Randy earlier. You know, he's got the game on his stick, and he buries it. It's his third game-winning goal of the year. And as the captain, I'm very willing to speak for Logan Couture and that he absolutely hates how this season has gone. I'm sure he's proud of his teammates' efforts, but, you know, there's an old saying around here that no one hates losing more than Logan Couture, and I've seen him after some of the bad losses. You can practically see the steam coming out of his ears. You can see the rage burning in his eyes. You can see the stiffness of his body language that he's seething with the result. When he's got the game on his stick like that, I was like, he's buried it. I had no doubts in that instant. And to watch him follow through in that moment for a guy who is as competitive as he is, and it means so much to him, as, again, he is the one wearing a C on his sweater, you know, that was just a big, big moment. And again, as the captain of this team, that's what he's supposed to do, right? Like, he's supposed to put the team on his back. And his two-way play, the way that he goes about his game, it maybe gets overlooked compared to some of the bigger stars in the NHL, but Logan Couture is one of those guys, and all you have to do is point to his postseason scoring. He's one of those guys that gets it done in the big moments. And I know there's been talk about him potentially being on the trade market as well, but he has expressed his desire to not leave San Jose. He wants to be part about getting this team back to contention once again, and I think he still has dreams of lifting a Stanley Cup here, and it might take a while. I don't know how long he's going to play. I don't know how long it's going to be before this team gets back to it, but I guarantee that's going to be Logan Couture's goal. He wants to get this team back in contention. He wants to be a part of it. It means something to him, and that's important about what the Sharks are trying to do right now in building this franchise back up. You get these guys of who it has a little bit more meaning, and I think that it does mean a little bit more to a Vlasic. I think it does mean a little bit more to a Couture. I think it does mean a little bit more to a Hurdle. I think it does mean a little bit more to a Carlson. These guys have been here. They understand what it takes. They want to be a part of building it back up in the near future. All right, we are going to take a break. On the other side, we are going to get into an interview I did with Sheng Peng, just talking about everything that was going on with the Sharks at the deadline and his reviews in that capacity. We're also going to get into some post-game sound. That's coming up next on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Hurdle back for Couture. A dozen seconds left. Here's Hurdle. To go, and the Sharks have tied it.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't much time, you know, because we've been there for a while, and when I saw the bouncing puck, I knew I have to get to the net. You know, that's how do you score, especially in 6-5. You know, you never score like tapping because it's a lot of guys, so you just try to get to the net, and I was really happy I could tie it up, you know, 10 seconds left, because, you know, a lot of times this season it was other way, so it's nice to get, you know, bounce and tied it up late.
Tommy Hurdle on NBC Sports California's post-game show, bringing us back in after his game-tying goal, as called by Randy Hahn. David Quinn was asked after this one just how big the win was for his team.
Yeah, we needed a win bad, and I didn't care how we drew it up. We needed to find a way to win. And you know, one of the things I liked is we didn't fold when there was some adversity, which we have in the last two games. I thought that was a good sign for us. And like I said, you know, when the chips were down and we needed a goal, we got it. And then we got another one when the game was on the line. And that's something we haven't done the last 2 weeks.
So, yeah, big, big win for the San Jose Sharks. And a big, big moment for Nikolai Knyazhov getting back out there onto the NHL ice. And he talked about the emotions that were swirling in the pregame.
To be honest with you, I had a lot of emotions in, like, warm-up pregame skate, so I kind of let it all out there, let it sink in, sat there a little bit, stretched out, looked at the arena, just felt through everything that I wanted to feel, and then once we got out there before the first period, I was just ready for the game. Like, there was nothing else but just excitement and, readiness to play.
Reimer, who I forgot had never even played with Knyazhov, offered this.
Incredible. I mean, you know, to go that long without playing a game and to go through the adversity he did, it was just a huge boost for our club. I mean, I've never even played with him until tonight, right? So I don't even know what he's capable of, but I know the kind of guy he is and how hard he works and I know the setbacks he's had. So, these are one of those nights where it's a really good feeling for the group and you're so happy for him.
And also a cool part of this one is this was the home province for James Reimer. He talked about playing in front of some friends and family.
Yeah, I mean, home province, I mean, it's more so even just in front of your friends and family. I mean, like I said this morning, and these are the people that got you to where you are, right? I mean, you don't get to the NHL by yourself. You get there by so much love and support and encouragement and even that practice time when you're 12 years old on the outdoor, right? So, you know, it's special to play in front of your friends and family, and it's even more special when, you know, things go your way.
And head coach David Quinn was riffing about bringing those friends and family of Reimers along if he's going to play that well in front of them.
Well, we're going to bring them on the charter, and wherever we go, they're going to go when he plays. So, but, you know, listen, Reimers has had a really good year for us. He was huge tonight, and it's always nice to perform in front of family and friends. So real happy for him.
Good stuff there. You can hear the smiles in everyone's voices. From here, we are going to transition to talk about the deadline with Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now. I started off asking him what exactly the Sharks are in right now, since Mike Grier argued that, you know, the rebuild, the reset, the retool was an argument of semantics.
It's a rebuild. You know, it may not be a full-on rebuild like Craig suggested, but that's only because of, that's not from choice. That's because of the contracts. If Erik Karlsson had a more inviting contract, he'd be in another city right now. And you can argue the same with Couture and Hurdle. Well, you know, they may want to stay too for different reasons. But the contracts are the reasons why a lot of these guys are still here, because they're not quite movable, or the Sharks don't want to retain four more years on a Karlsson at like 40%, or on a Couture, or on a Hurdle. And of course, you only get three retainment spots too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's a rebuild. Again, yeah, it's not a full down teardown, but that's because they can't do that. They really can't do that. I mean, I guess you can do that, but you know, you have to give up a bunch of draft picks. You have to retain way more money than you want to, and that's come to a point where you're just shooting yourself in the foot to kind of commence a full scale rebuild. So that's not realistic, but. They are trying their. It seems like they are trying their best. You know, trading Timo, entertaining conversations about Karlsson, who's of course having a fantastic season. They are trying to rebuild the best that they can, given the kind of the rock and a hard place that the contracts put them in.
Do you think that then the timeline is a little bit different because they do have a Tomas Hertl, they do have a Logan Couture and Erik Karlsson, which can maybe expedite things? Because I know that was something that you asked about as well, like when this team expects to be in the playoffs, because for better or for worse, they do have quality pieces here.
I'm not sure what their plans are. I'm not sure if it's built around it. It is noticeable that whatever Mike is doing is, and he mentioned himself, and I do believe that this is kind of what he's going for. You know, he talked about being able to turn it around relatively quickly, and I think what he means by that, obviously, the first question when he says that is, well, why don't you just keep Timo Meier?
Right.
You want to turn things around quickly. But I don't think he means it like that, where sign another long-term contract and, you know, and just try your best to make it into the playoffs next year. That's not what Mike is talking about. He's talking about trying to build things kind of in a slower, more responsible way, not get yourself caught up in another long contract, that sort of thing, right? And so, but what is interesting about some of the decisions he's made is he alluded to in the Meier trade that he had offers of mostly or all draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't take that. I wonder if that was Vegas, because that's mainly what Vegas has to offer, because their system is so tapped out. And Vegas was said, of course, to be the runner-up to New Jersey in the Meier sort of sweepstakes. He opted more for players from New Jersey that are closer to NHL ready. Mukamadulin, Ochuyuk. Those guys are Mukamadulin is, I think, 21, and he's, you know, he's going to 20 or 21. He's already playing pro, and he can come over as soon as the KHL season ends. Ochuyuk is already playing the AHL. Zetterlund obviously is already an established NHL player. Mm-hmm. So there was a mix of trying to get kind of prospects, but not like your not draft picks that are 18, not just selected prospects that still need a couple of years, but guys that maybe that can help out sooner. And I don't know if that's to help out necessarily a Hurdle or a Couture. I kind of hope not, because I don't know if you should be building your plans around those guys, but those guys will probably be here because of their contracts, and they're still good players, and there's still hope that they can be big time contributors if the Sharks are able to flip things around quickly. And so if they are, then it might just kind of coincide that Hurdle and Couture are still positive contributors, and you have a guy like, let's say, Mukhtar Mudulin or Henry Thrun, just another example guy, 21, senior in college, who's ready to step into pro, who might be able to help very soon too. And if they can kind of crest together the these younger players that are closer to NHL readiness and the whatever's left of Couture and Hurdle's kind of best years, then yeah, you might get something there. And conspicuously, I didn't mention Carlson because my guess is that they're going to try to find a way once again to try to move him this summer.
One of the things that I've seen with the Carlson talk is that it's a lot of like a wish list there. You know, I've heard people saying, oh, well, if the Sharks retain, you know, this amount of money, you know, 40 some odd percent, and he's, you know, you can get Eric Carlson for $7.5 million. And I'm saying, well, yeah, if that was the reality, then every team would have been in on that at the deadline. But I'm sure the Sharks were not entertaining that much retainment. So, I mean, what is a realistic expectation, if there even is one, for what we might see with the Carlson move? And I actually also want to get your take with how open about all of this Mike Greer was when he spoke after the deadline on Friday afternoon. Like, he was a lot more forthcoming than I expected him to be.
Yeah, Mike has been like that pretty much since he's taken over, to his credit. I wrote about that in the, I guess, the transcript of his trade deadline interview. But at the top of it, I wrote about how, you know, whether or not you agree with all of his moves or the prospects that he's traded for or things like that. You know, Mike has struck me from the beginning, but especially in that post-trade deadline availability, as someone with, he knows what he is doing. Mm-hmm. He knows what he wants to do with his team. Whether or not it leads to playoffs in a couple of years or Stanley Cup in the future, who knows? But he is he has a sureness of his vision, I think, that comes across in that availability. And a lot of fans that were very upset about the Timo Meier trade, upset about the direction of his team, based on some of the Twitter comments and comments on this, on the story itself at San Jose Hockey Now, it seemed like Mike's comments were sort of like warm milk. You know, they helped pacify the masses a little bit.
It is. I do understand. But at the same time, my whole take on this has been, okay, it's not like it's helping them win right now. I mean, I think that after the Sunday night move of Timo, he said in that Zoom press conference is you don't want to be stuck spinning the wheels, which right. is where the Sharks have been since the end of the pandemic shortened 2019-2020 season. Like, they were already having trouble at that point. They'd make the change to Bob Bugner. Then Hurdle gets hurt. Then Carlson gets hurt and Couture gets hurt. And, you know, if we'd probably done things a little bit more differently, it might have started then with the quote unquote R word rebuild, retool, reset, whatever you want to call it. But now it's just kind of, it's like you don't want to get caught spinning those wheels. And so if, I get it. It's like if Timo's not helping you win right now, then you have to build towards something that will eventually help you win, because I think we've put this to the acid test of the NHL. It's not like, I don't think the dynamic changes if you keep him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, well, again, whether or not you agree with who we acquired or whatnot, I think that the Meier deal is hurt, at least in terms of perception, because you don't have a big name prospect coming back, and the biggest name you have is a defenseman that, you know, not a lot of people have really gotten a chance to see, you know, be it in World Juniors, because Russia wasn't in the most recent World right. Juniors, or even at the AHL level. And so, I think things like that sort of hurt the perception, but who cares about the perception though? I think that what Mike is doing at the core level of saying like, look, we can re-sign Timo, he's an incredible player, but is he helping us win a lot of games here? Well, I mean, of course a guy who puts up 40 goals is going to help you win games, but it's not helping you get to the playoffs on the end run, though. Yeah, I think it was ultimately, as much as it hurts to lose a homegrown player, I mean, it speaks to where the franchise is, that they were at this point where they had to make this decision. And even last year, where arguably, going back to that, they should have done the same thing with Tomáš Hurdle, which would hurt even more because Tomáš is so beloved among Sharks fans and whatnot. But those are the kind of decisions that I think they've been put into by some of the, you know, by the past contracts and just a few years of kind of irrelevance. But anyway, though, going back to the original question about Eric, I mean, it's hard to say, because even that 40% retainment, you know, that reduces his contract down to about 7.5 for 4 years. Everyone says that's a walk in the park, but it really isn't, though, because Eric is 32. He's had one great season in the last four. Teams can see that, too. This is not as if Eric Carlson has played 70 plus games in each of the last four seasons, obviously not counting 2021, and has put up a point per game each season. In that case, you would get a taker for maybe even the full 11.5. But the questions about Carlson aren't just about the the dollar figure and whatnot. It's also about durability. It's also about, you know, whether or not he can repeat this. You know, again, I'll go back to it, but, you know, this time last year, trading Carlson's contract at all was not possible.
Right.
Or would have been an incredible stretch. Same thing 2 years ago, same thing 3 years ago. And the reason being is because, he hasn't quite hit this peak performance level in such a long time. And so, again, so Summer, I think they will try to move him. I think there's a decent chance they're able to, but I mean, I don't think it's a slam dunk though, because again, you're talking about four more years after this year, whether it's 7.5 million per year or 11.5, for somebody that, you know, hasn't been consistently great for the, you know, the first half of this contract.
All right, great stuff there with Sheng Peng of San Jose Hockey Now and NBC Sports California. We're out of time for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.